everybody. Welcome to Waking Up in Reno. I'm Kyle Archuleta, your host, here with my co-host, the San Diego Slider, Johnny Lyons. We're exceptionally excited about our guest today. He's a nationally award-winning chef. He's an advocate for the food movement using products sourced right here in Northern Nevada from farmers and ranchers. He's a restaurateur, proprietor of the Liberty Food and Wine Exchange, the Union, Shea Louie, and the Nevada Museum of Art, Overland Restaurant and Pub. I'm going to mess this name up, but it's Cucina
Lupo. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. And Liberty Events and Catering. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Welcome to Waking Up in Reno, Mark Esty. What's up, brother?
How's it going, man?
Thanks for being on with us, man.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Man,
thanks for inviting me in. Good morning to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. Right, so this was a surprise, and we didn't know that he was the inaugural guest for Waking Up in Reno. So
I did not know.
We are super honored, and you know, for all you guys who are actually, you know, tuning in and listening to this, you know, I think this is a good one for you guys to get a nice flavor of just the quality of people we want to have on here. And you know, couldn't think of anyone better for the first episode than Mark. So we're so stoked to have him.
Absolutely. So let's jump into this. I'm going to ask you a question you probably have never been asked before.
Sure.
What in the world got you into becoming a chef and a restaurateur?
Well, I'm really glad to be here. I wanted to make sure I say that and let you guys know. Thank you for having me. Well, one of the biggest things, I think, when I personally got interested in this was back in like 1982, right? So I'm a little old. I'm 49. And I loved all those little cooking shows on TV. You know, and it was like The Frugal Gourmet, a few shows here and there, the French Chef, you know, a lot of PBS shows.
Yeah.
I grew up in Boston and, you know, I was a big football player and sports guy. And all throughout high school, I was always cooking for my family, always cooking for my friends. And I was like, Dad, I want to go to culinary school. And he says, what the hell's wrong with you? Have you lost your mind? You're not going to go to culinary school. No one does that. Who the hell cooks? That's like silly. He's like, just go get a regular degree first, right? And then if you want to follow your dream, I'll help you get in there after. So I went to regular college first, played football in college for 3 years. And then I really was doing nothing with that. So I quit and went to get a restaurant job in a restaurant and went to culinary school. And that became like, that was the thing that changed my life. My parents were so worried about me. I had a million different jobs. I was lazy. I never went to work. I sleep till like noon, right? All I cared about was like hanging out, drinking with my friends, pretending to go to school. The day I walk into culinary school, I called my mom. I was like crying. I'm like, I'm home. This is perfect. Bye. And then never saw me again. I just was working all the time and I loved it.
So, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It wasn't cool and hip to be a chef back then. Nowadays, I mean, geez, everyone and their mother's trying to be a chef. It's great. It's a lot of different avenues for chefs these days. When I came up, it was you're either in a hotel, cruise ship, traveling, or you went to work for like a famous chef. And, you know, there wasn't so many. All the opportunities that are out there now are absolutely amazing.
Yeah, you think it's the like the TV shows on Food Network that have kind of.
I think the Food Network and TV has absolutely helped our industry tremendously. And I also think that people in general have gone back to like where we got our food from. You know, we care about what we put in our bodies now. You know, we were kind of talking earlier about, you know, we're trying all these different diets and we're looking at different things, and local food has become such like a hip thing for everybody. And it's really, even if you're not interested in being a chef, what people are putting on their families' tables at night is really, really important. You know, we try to strive for that. Why I come talk about that stuff is those people are my next customers, right? If they're doing that at home, they're going to enjoy all our restaurants.
You were in Boston, and you started your career in Boston. How long were you in Boston before you moved to Reno? And what made you decide on Reno?
Okay, so my timeline is pretty. I like my timeline. So quit regular college, go to Johnson & Wales, graduate in 93, take a job at the Hyatt in Cambridge. 3 years Hyatt in Cambridge, kind of superstar guy. You know, I was like the one manager of the year right before I left. I wanted to go to either San Francisco or New Orleans because that's where Boston didn't even really have a great food scene at the time. There's only a few really good restaurants there. So leave and ended up at the Hyatt Lake Tahoe. So my boss transferred out and I stayed on for like 3 months. He calls me, goes, I need you here. And I was like, where's Lake Tahoe? And he describes it to me and I'm like, well, I'm not going there. I'm trying to go to San Francisco. And he says, shut the hell up. Get your ass out here. So I go to the Lone Eagle Grill. Showed up there in January of 96 when I was 25 years old. So I spent 3 years at the Hyatt there. Went from chef of Lone Eagle to executive sous chef of the whole property to chef of Lone Eagle doing both jobs for the last 2 years I was there. And then I really kind of got disenchanted with the whole corporate scene. So I went to San Francisco to work for Gary Danko, which is a pretty famous restaurant there. So that's like 99. That didn't, he was delayed in construction. So I came back and opened La Haunted Golf Club in Truckee in 99. So I was there in 99 to 2002. In 2002, we opened Moody's, JJ Morgan and I, which is still there now.
Yeah.
And Truckee. Yeah.
Great spot.
So I went from, you know, went from Incline over to San Francisco to Truckee. And then from Moody's, we had, I opened Bergamy on my own with some partners. We had Baxter's. And then in about 2010, I decided to move to Reno. Came down to Reno, and in 11, we opened Campo. So I got out of Moody's, and we opened another Bergamy. That's when Chez Louis started. We have a Campo in Mammoth. And then at that point there, I opened up Reno Provisions. I opened up the Heritage. And when Provisions kind of went under, I got out of Campo. I got out of Bergamy's, and I got out of Heritage, and I started Liberty, kind of from the ashes, if you will. And from Liberty, we were able to kind of, you know, get our footings again, and we started to build these other restaurants with a more solid group. So the first time around, I was kind of flying like a fire hose, just shooting all around with no aiming at all. And right now, what we've kind of done is I've learned really the hard way how to kind of create a really good team around myself, and be part of a great team, and really focus that energy into like making great restaurants. So that's where we get the Union, Cucina Lupo, the Overland. We still have Campo Mammoth, and we're really kind of laser focused on what we're doing these days.
Nice. Yeah. Where does that drive come from? I mean, that just sounds like you have so much going on, so many irons in the fire. You got a lot of plates spinning.
Yeah, you know,
where does that come from?
I wish I was somebody who could just kind of have one spot and kind of chill, you know. But that's not my style. It's like I think my mind and the way that I work and what I aspire to do is to like inspire others. I really like to kind of spread our message of what we're doing. So it's like getting that local food out there, as many restaurants as we can open. I think what we do is pretty unique and cool. So really, in my mind, it's always like, well, the more we can do it and the more we can kind of help with others and grow, the better it is, you know. So I end up with some great employees who become great managers, who become great partners.
Yeah.
And that's really what inspires me, you know, as I especially go into my next part of my chapter of my life, if you will, because as you get a little bit older, I'm not in there cooking all the pizzas all the time and making the pastas all the time like I used to. I still do it, but not like on a 7-day a week basis like I used to.
Right.
So I think my entrepreneurial side comes from my mother. My mother was like really, and she's retired now, but she was like, when she, in like 1980, she started her own business as like a phone answering service and then a temporary service. And then her and her partner split up and she kept going and she started another business. So she had all these different businesses, and my dad's a CPA and kind of just chills out. So
okay.
I think it comes from my mom, that entrepreneurial drive.
Yeah, you know? Nice.
And I grew up, my dad was a hard worker. He always had a second job. So I watched that throughout my life. You know, I saw how they worked and, you know, they wanted to just give us a better life. And, you know, I have two children, so that's what I try to do. You know, the restaurant business is brutal. It really is. It's really, really difficult.
I was going to ask. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. It's okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. So, what upside, downside to being a restaurateur? What do you feel there?
Hopefully, you're doing it because you love it. You have a passion for it. You know. So, really, we're in the hospitality business. Right? I love to cook, but what I really love to do is take care of people, make them feel good, feed them well, make sure they're happy. Try to have them have a good time, whether it's, you know, in the restaurant or catering or whatever we're doing. We really want to make sure that people feel like the warmth of, you know, coming into our house or our home or whatever, you know, just take care of them. And that's really, that need is what I really love the most. So if you get into it for the money side of it, it's really difficult. You can make money, and I've had a lot of hits and I've had a lot of failures. So it's that riding those waves, you know, and for me, I don't mind that. You know, it doesn't really bother me that much. So I like those parts of it. So the best parts of my part are seeing people being happy, feeling a sense of accomplishment, and the harder parts are riding those waves with seasonality and, you know, nowadays with Yelp and all the different reviews that you get out there. You know, we embrace that. We turn that in a way into like talk to our customers, even if they're not telling us what we want to hear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We still listen to them. You know, we have a little saying that says we all know the customer's not always right, because you say, oh, the customer's always right. We just want them to feel that way. You know,
okay.
So the idea is that we really want to listen. And even if it's kind of like, wow, that's kind of crazy, but we still listen and give them the right to say what they have to say, and kind of hopefully, you know, keep them as customers.
Yeah. Wonderful. That's great, man. That's great. So let me ask you, we're kind of all over the place here, but let me ask you, do you have a local favorite chef or favorite restaurant that you like to go to? If you have, I'm sure you don't have a ton of downtime,
right?
But when you do, where do you like to go?
That's a great question. One, I love Reno. You know, I really love being here. When I came down from Tahoe, it was really cool to see. We got a really warm reception. You know, we had kind of been doing local food up there since we opened Moody's in in 02. So it was kind of a natural to come down here with Campo. You know, it was that first restaurant. I remember it came down. It was right during the recession in 11. And I remember like trying to raise some money. And I remember people saying, man, it's not going to work. It's not going to make it, all that kind of jazz. And Reno's not ready for a restaurant like that. And I really looked to the people. So getting to your answer, some people that I really admired at that time, and I still do, which is 4th Street Bistro.
Okay.
You know, everyone knows Carol. And Natalie.
For those that don't.
Yeah, sorry, 4th Street Bistro is owned by Natalie Sellers and Carol. They've been there for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And when I was even Truckee, she was the one who used to send up a fish farmer that we started using, Ernie Camilleri. We get the fish from him, right? We used to have all these people bringing food to our back door, and we would share resources. She worked at some great places in San Francisco, and they kind of gave me the belief that what they were doing down here, we could come down, and those people, there's a want for that, right? Like, so I might be like, oh, local food, if no one wants to eat it, well, that really isn't a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have local food at a lot of great restaurants down here. Like, if you look at, like, what Troy and Colleen have done, they own Lulu's and a bunch of other places, you know, Cowboy, and they get right open a pasta shop. You know, all these different kind of places who are here already doing it. And we also have great casinos who, you know, I have a lot of friends. Ivano Cemetery is one of my really good friends. I think the Pep Mill does a great job. Atlantis does a great job. They have great chefs inside of there, and they use local food here and there. But they're locals anyways, right? Like, so right. They're here. They all live here. They're helping our economy tremendously. A lot of the people who work there are our customers. So, like, we all kind of, I always felt like it was a chance for us to always play together.
Yeah. You know, great kinda, synergy.
Everyone has to work together. All the boats rise in the same tide.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a few people that there's a young people coming up right now. There's a guy, Harrison. I don't know his last name, but he works over at Estella, mm-hmm. the taco shop on 4th Street, right? Mm-hmm. We have a lot of great kind of independent owned restaurants out there right now that have great chefs in them who are doing a great job. You know, the guys at the Brewer's Cabinet and that whole crew.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're not chefs, but man, do they do so much for the local community and do those types of things. So I like to go to places who the people when I know people, right? I don't want to go there to get anything for free. I live downtown. So I'll always end up at, you know, Antonio's or Paisano's or, you know, one of the different faux shops around there. You know, I think Reno's food scene is growing really well. There's a lot of people who are interested in it. There's definitely some pros and cons out there. You know, there's a lot of good things going on, and there's some stuff that you kind of have to laugh about.
Sure.
But in essence, you know, anytime something's growing and coming into its own, that's what's going to happen. You know, and I'm not the food police, right? I'm on the board of directors for the co-op, and the co-op was another one that I've been really heavily involved with. They are kind of the hub for people who want local food. So that's downtown. If you haven't been to the co-op, it's awesome. It's not some crunchy granola place. You know, it's like $25 to join for the year, and you literally get that back in food credit discounts like within the first month.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And the food there is amazing. You know, and they have a cafe upstairs, and they're sourcing all local products from different places. It's all verified. And, you know, it's a really cool store. The fact that there's so many members and that store does so well makes me know that the food scene here in Reno is going to continue to grow.
Yeah, good. That's fantastic, man. It's very exciting.
I think so too.
Yeah, let me ask you, what since you've been here, give us what's your funniest Reno story you got for us?
Let's see. I'd probably say there's a lot of those one that I can tell on the radio. There's a lot of different food things we do in town, right? Like, you go and you do, like, the chefs are cooking food for you, right? So one time I'm out there cooking, we have Campo, and I'm in there cooking, and a lady comes over, and it's like, you know, a couple thousand people standing around, and everyone's eating, and we're making this food, and she says, you know, oh, can I have some of those, when I was serving gnocchi, so here's gnocchi, truffle cream sauce, beautiful garnish, I put it on her plate, and she's like, oh man, these scallops are delicious, right? And I said, man, those are not scallops, right? And I said, if those were, you need to upgrade your buffet choices because they're really small, you know. So there's some pretty cool things that go on out there, and you know, and my feeling is like, you know, bridging that new with the old, you know, and you know, your kids grow up and they're eating great food. You know, we didn't grow up with that kind of stuff. You know, my Friday night dinner was SpaghettiOs out of a can.
Right.
You know, right now I just made my son like homemade macaroni and cheese that he took to school with, like, you know, some beautiful local organic some carrots and organic peppers, you know. So, you know, we've changed. Things have changed for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to have you come over and make mine.
Yeah, there's a business there.
Yeah, sounds awesome. Yeah, no, I remember that. My dinners being, you know, those frozen meals and a sleeve of Oreos. Real healthy. Love it.
Yeah. So we have Valentine's Day coming up next month here. Yeah. So, you have a ton of different restaurants around here. What, anything particular that you can throw out there to our listeners that they can get excited about? Maybe come down to Liberty or Chez Louis or something like that.
So at Chez Louis on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're doing like a little 3-course luncheon because that's our place that's only open during lunch.
Okay.
So you can come down and you can have a choice of 2 starters or a choice of 2 entrees, glass of wine, a little chocolate dessert for a nice little cheap price. It's like $30 or something like that. So if you wanted to celebrate during the day, that's a nice place to come. And then all the other restaurants are doing like some type of special and or special menu that is just going to be run in congruency with the regular menu. So we don't want to make anyone, you know, not trying to take anyone, you know, you don't have to go and do into this big kind of wine tasting. But I know at Liberty, we have a 4-course tasting menu that we've actually paired up some wines for like $120, I think, for the whole entire team. So you can get some pretty good deals. And it's really a chance to kind of celebrate and have a great night. It is, you know, Friday night this year. So yeah, Friday night and Saturday night. Yeah. So it's, it's another one of those, 2 top cities.
Yeah.
You know, most restaurants aren't built for only deuces, which we say 2 top or 2 diners. So it does get a little hectic when all your tables are filled with 2 people only. So you're trying to turn them and burn them out of there to a certain extent, right? And everyone's kind of hanging on. So I've seen a lot of funny things on Valentine's Day. There's some pretty good Valentine's stories. I've seen 2 tables where the people fought and then they ended up switching out and they ended up going home with the other people.
Right? Only in Reno.
When I was up in Truckee, I ended up on a date with somebody whose boyfriend left her at the table. And I was like, oh, hi, how's it going? Nice to meet you. I slid in.
So you were working and you just sat down.
Didn't want her to feel bad. Hospitality.
Yeah, good man.
That's great. Yeah, I hope she left a good Yelp review.
It was 10 star.
Oh, that's great.
That is awesome. So are you, I assume Boston sports fan?
Oh, yeah.
Patriots?
Oh, yeah. Patriots, everybody.
Yeah.
Celtics, Bruins, anything Boston. And also being the fact that I live out here and us Bostonians, we really love all sports.
Yeah.
We just think ours are the best. I try not to be a typical masshole. I support the Niners for sure. I'm really, really psyched to see those guys kicking butt.
Oh, yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah. You got our quarterback. We did help you a little bit there, so we'll take a little credit. You know, excited for the Las Vegas Raiders. Excited for the Las Vegas Knights. That's pretty cool. It's cool to see Nevada growing that way.
Yep.
You know, I think that's going to really bring some fun to us. And you know, it's going to make Reno even more spectacular in my mind, you know.
Yeah, so absolutely. I mean, because we got the Wolfpack here, and, you know, anyone who's been following basketball for the last couple of years, you know, that's been fun, you know, and you can see that there's a healthy sports fandom here in Reno.
If you look at I've done a few talks up at the university, part of the MBA program, and just going and just kind of share stuff with everybody, and going up there over the years, just the pure growth that's gone up there, I think that's great for our, definitely good for our business community. It's definitely going to help bring more people here to Reno, which we all know is coming and happening right now with the housing crunch and crisis that's happening, but we'll dig our way out.
Explosion.
Right? We're resilient. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We'll dig our way out, but I love to call UNR the Harvard on the Hill, you know. And I've seen the changing, you know, I've seen the changing demographic. I've seen the changing, business level and the quality of employees we're getting who are coming into work at the restaurants, you know, because serving is a great side job when you're in college. And you can kind of see the buildings going up. And I think I have a son who's a freshman in high school in California at Akalani's in Lafayette. And his goal, my goal, is that we're trying to get him to go to UNR. He's got to get his grades up, you know, because it would be really cool to have him come here and go to college right here. So, and a lot of kids from that region are going to college at UNR right now. And UNR has kind of really raised its profile of a place to go and have a great school with great basketball, the baseball team, I think, has been done really well over the years, right?
Yeah.
Football team, our coach there, I think we have a great coach right now. And those guys play really hard. I mean, they got to the bowl game this year. So it's pretty cool to watch that. And even the women's sports, I used to be really good friends with the volleyball coach. And they're down recruiting people. And it's cool to see us celebrating the university and the university to see celebrating Reno. It's that kind of synergy. I think it's cool.
Now, does your son have any aspirations of getting into the family business?
Hell no.
If he did,
their mothers wouldn't let him.
Is that right?
I have two kids. My youngest lives here. Enzo, he's 7, and Owen's 15. Owen's fancies himself as a professional lacrosse player.
So, okay, all right.
I was like, you still have to get good grades to be a professional lacrosse player. So he loves lacrosse. And, you know, if they come to it, that's cool. They do work with me in the summertime. He comes out and helps me with the PGA tournament. We do Barracuda, which is now going up to Old Greenwood.
Yeah.
But he and Owen comes and worked the last 3 years. He comes and, you know, he'll take the trash and drive people around or whatever it needs to be done. So he loves that. Now Enzo wants to get in on the game, you know.
Oh, that's
they love going to
build
the restaurant.
Work ethic, yeah, early.
Exactly. They love going to the restaurants and eating and like walking in, you know. Like Enzo comes in, everyone's high five. I'm like, yeah. I'm not here for the high fives. I'm here for the cookies. You know?
Nice. That's great.
That's pretty cool.
We have a section where we ask our guests, if you have 24 hours in Reno, yeah, start to finish, yeah, what do you do?
That's a great question. So I'll give you my perfect 24
perfect
hours.
Perfect day.
Okay. So yeah, for me, wake up about 7 o'clock. I'd probably drive over, go hit one of our amazing coffee shops we have here. I mean, I go to all of them.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we you know, I don't
top
have one
three
favorite. Hub, Old World, and Coffee Bar.
Okay.
Right. And then I love to head out. Usually, hopefully, take the kids, maybe go down, take a little walk around. I just kind of love to walk around the city a little bit, you know, just downtown, see what's happening down by the river. We'll throw some rocks in the river, right? Head in, go to breakfast somewhere. I'll always head over to like Two Tricks.
Okay.
You know, grab something really delicious over there. It's always based around food for me.
Sure. So, yeah. You don't say.
That's what it is. Food and drinking. You know, yeah. So. And then maybe head over to, if I have Enzo, like we'll go see a movie, or we'll go up to the planetarium, or go to one of the casinos. He loves going and playing like Circus,
sure,
all that fun stuff,
and
try to win.
Center.
Yeah, it's like you can drop $100 without even looking, yeah, blinking an eye, and you get some janky little blow up doll that breaks on the way out, right? And he's like, "Oh, Dad, this is the best." So, and then maybe head out, probably hit one of my places for lunch. I'll go get some tacos over at Antonio's. Maybe then I drop off the kid, right? And then maybe in Reno, what I've been finding a little bit is it's pretty cool. There's a lot of cool distilleries around here right now, and the breweries to kind of go visit. And Farino is one. I said I haven't been there, so I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to Farino, maybe have a drink with Michael Moberly, see what they have going on. Right, walk around, you know, kind of you continue to walk for me. I really stay downtown a ton, so I don't really venture up here. I venture out very much outside of my little region or area. Then I would head over and maybe go to dinner. I love going to the casinos for dinner. I just recently went to Ruth Chris Steakhouse.
Oh, I was there last night.
I thought that was
excellent.
Really cool. Yeah. Or my favorite go-to has always been, let's say if I was lucky enough to get a date, I would head over to Weston Village. I love that steakhouse.
That steakhouse is one of the best in town, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, it's a hidden gem.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of people don't know it. I mean, it's behind Sierra Sids. Yeah. I grew up in Sparks.
Okay.
And so it's interesting because a lot of people say, Western Village? Well, you got to be kidding me. Isn't that behind Sierra Sids? Or they don't even know about it.
It's the bomb.
It is so fantastic.
And then you know, I'd probably say try to look for a show at one of the places, maybe something smaller, maybe hit a little art kind of thing.
Okay.
If it was a perfect day. And then kind of do, for me, it was like, okay, I'm probably never going to last 24 hours. So I probably go to bed. I try to be asleep by 11 o'clock. Nothing good ever happens after midnight.
Agreed. Right? Agreed.
Especially at my age.
Yeah, right? You're telling me.
But if I, you know, had to do it, I would probably say, like, I'd probably try to say, well, go down to, go over to the Loving Cup. There's always got some live music over there. And Pete and it's really fun to hang out with and see those guys. And if that wasn't enough, you could kind of walk along that little California loop. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
hit those bars.
Yeah.
So 1864, and then right that up to St. James, you know, and then just walk home and call it a day.
Yeah.
That'd be a pretty fun day.
That sounds like
There's a lot of cool stuff to do around here.
Yeah,
you know?
There really is. Reno's a fantastic place.
Yeah, I think it's
fun. Love it. We love Reno. That's why we started this podcast.
Yeah.
So
waking up in Reno. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Mark, thank you so much for being Reno, man. We really appreciate you being here.
Glad to be the one to pop the cherry for you guys.
Yeah, you did, and it is pop. Thanks, man. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks.
We look forward to being patrons for a long time and continued success for you.
Yeah, great. Thank
Thanks
you.
A lot. Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. All right, everybody, that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us for episode 2 with Mr. Mark Esty, chef extraordinaire. Make sure you visit his restaurants, Liberty Food, Wine Exchange, The Union, Shays Louie, Overland Restaurant Pub. John, you got to carry this next one.
Cucina Lupo. And be sure to follow Waking Up in Reno as well so you can stay up to date on all our latest episodes, upcoming guests, etc. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/WakingUpInReno or on Instagram at WakingUpInReno or on Twitter at Reno Podcast. Thank you.
Y'all have a good one. Peace out.